Right on Prime Breaking News.
Here we are with another Right on Prime Breaking News about COVID-19. And this time we are focusing on this pandemic's impact on kids and adolescents. And to help us break down this topic is Dr. Beth Watson. She is a clinical psychologist based in New Jersey, so currently based in really the epicenter of the outbreak. Thanks for being here, Beth.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Beth, we're both talking kind of in our dual role as clinicians and as parents, because we're seeing the impacts of this pandemic on our kids and on our patients. How have things been going in your world?
So it's definitely a challenging time for adults as well as for our kids. And I know that when I look at my own family, seeing my kids, they're reacting in different ways. Their tolerance is lower than normal. They're more irritable than normal. They're more reactive than normal. And I think all of these are just absolutely okay. As a mom, I find these things challenging at times, but I am working really hard to be accepting of all the ups and downs. And clinically, I'm seeing that as well. A lot of children and adolescents are just feeling worn out. They are missing out on having the things in their lives that normally help them get through. Time with friends, exercise, activities. Even the structure of school can help kids so immensely in a lot of different ways, and they just don't have access to those things, which is really hard.
No, all they have access to, many of them, is their immediate families and their caregivers, which sometimes I feel is lacking when my kids start to act out.
I think it's hard for all of us, and I think the reality is it is lacking, right? Like, we're all freaking worn out too, and we're tired, and we're stressed, and we're watching the news and scared, and so one of the things that I'm finding is really hard for myself and my husband is just really trying to maintain that sense of, we got this, we can get through this, at least in front of our children, and trying to really be their stable presence, even when it's hard and we're not feeling that stable ourselves. So we're trying really hard to take care of ourselves as well. And I think that parental self-care is a really key component of how to get through right now, whatever that means. Exercise, sleep, time with friends, some time to yourself, whatever you can do.
Sometimes some chocolate.
Definitely chocolate.
I'm telling all of my patients who are stress eaters, I'm reminding them that right now that stress eating is a more acceptable coping mechanism than stress crystal meth or stress cocaine. So we're working at harm reduction right now.
I love that.
I'm wondering if you have any pointers about how we can talk to our kids and adolescents about COVID. I'm getting questions at home and at the clinic on this topic. Do you have any recommendations for how to approach this?
So my recommendation is to be honest with our kids about what's going on, but also to limit their access to news and information to the point that it might become overwhelming or too much for them. I know that watching the news is often too much for me as an adult that has a fully formed brain and is able to process the severity, horrific things that are happening in the world. It's just really hard to look at. Mm-hmm. So whereas I don't want parents to feel like they should be hiding information from their kids, understanding that it's just a lot and that we really need to limit it. So in our home, we never have the news on. We've talked to the kids about what's going on, but we're really trying to help them just stay focused on like the here and now and the moment versus getting too caught up in that information.
So limiting access and being very picky about what information your kids hear about the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, and when they have questions, we are certainly trying to answer those in an honest way. But I think it's also important for them to not take on too much of the worry and concern. I'm just like thinking as I'm talking, I imagine this is different for different families as well. For my family, my husband is at the front lines, and so I don't actually want my children to know so much about what that means because they probably would get more freaked out. And I want them instead to be able to get through their days and sleep at night and all the things that are going to help them stay healthy. So it also depends a little bit on your situation and what you're doing. Like, they know why, for example, they're not seeing their grandparents, then they know why they can't go to school. And those things I think are really important to explain. I think the other piece to kind of keep in mind is that kids are extremely perceptive. And so what I've been seeing a bit at work and probably at home as well is that sometimes when we don't even talk about things, kids can pick up on the fact that as adults, we're stressed, we're irritable, we're freaked out. And so you don't want to just hide things from them because they're going to pick up on that anyway. But that kind of speaks about also that self-care piece, making sure as adults that we're doing what we can do to take care of ourselves and maybe finding our own outlets, if that's possible, to talk through some of these things.
Now, what I've noticed with kids and some patients, and what I've certainly read in the media, is that we can characterize this time as a time of loss and grief for our kids, as their normal has really been taken away from them. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, they certainly are losing a lot. I think it's going to impact different kids in different ways. And it just depends on the situation and what they're actually missing out on. There's kids missing out on birthday parties. There's kids missing out on graduations. There's kids missing out on time with friends, like just lots of different levels.
How might kids demonstrate these emotions that they're having? And I know that's a big question because there's a broad age range when we talk about kids and adolescents, but what should we be on the lookout for as parents and caregivers?
I think it's a great question. And so I honestly think at this point, anything goes. And the reason I'm saying that is that kids process things really differently. Humans process things really differently. And so some kids are going to have a shorter fuse and be yelling more or tantrum. Some kids are just going to need more cuddling, more one-on-one time, more reassurance. I just think it's going to come out in all different kinds of ways. And so I think we as adults, as parents, just have to allow it all and be willing to embrace whatever the kid is giving you, whether we want to or not. And so what that might mean is like when one of my children had a hard day a couple of days ago and was pretty challenging, we gave her some time to calm down. But then I went back in there and worked on trying to get her back engaged with the family and get her to kind of do something again with me, even though I was still feeling frustrated and annoyed about some of her behavioral choices. Trying to remember, like, this is part of what's going on with her. This is part of her way of saying, I'm really upset right now. This is really hard. And so I think we just have to try really hard to be accepting of whatever they're dishing out at us.
Yeah. And they are dishing. My, they're dishing.
They are dishing.
When should we be wary that something is going on that's beyond the range of expected emotional responses? Like, are there any red flags that we should be looking out for?
I think, it really depends. So I think what we can expect to see is that, like, for a kid that maybe gets angry once in a while, that's going to be happening more often. Or for a kid that tends to cry not so often, that's going to happen more. So I think it's going to really depend on a case-by-case basis. And I would expect some of the more problematic behaviors to be happening more often. That being said, if you're seeing something that for you as a parent feels really off, like I don't know that there's a red flag per se, because I think kids communicate their own discomfort in so many different ways that I just don't think I have a specific answer for that. But I think as a parent, we need to just kind of allow for more than normal. But then when it feels like it's just too much, take a step back and say, what can we do differently here? Going back to the example of my daughter, when she had that really rough afternoon, we made a big effort the next day to make sure she had time to connect with a friend online, of course, because we're just socially distancing, but set up a movie night for her with a friend and made an effort to like spend more one-on-one time with her that next day, just trying to help her kind of come back to who she is normally and help her try to process some of those things.
We've touched on it a little bit, Beth, but how specifically can parents or caregivers create a safe, emotionally secure environment for children in such times of upheaval?
So I think the best piece of advice here is validation. When your kids are somehow expressing to you, this is hard, just reflecting that back. Because it is. It really, really is. Like, this sucks. Our adolescents who are going through missing out on their friends and having to do online schooling and missing out on sports and graduations and school trips, that sucks. And as adults, sometimes we just have to sit there and hold that for them and reflect that back. That's what validation is. For younger kids, sometimes validation means mind reading. And this is jumping into, okay, so, you know, you've been screaming. You seem to be really annoyed at your brother. Are you feeling sad about not going to school? Like jumping a little bit with them and trying to get them. They may or may not admit it, and that's okay. But just trying to label and accept the emotion that they're experiencing.
Could you touch a little bit on the different facets that kids need to be healthy? Like I'm thinking sleep, physical activity, all of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And I bet this is something that comes up for you as a physician all the time.
It does. Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. So I think these are incredibly important factors in keeping a child healthy and even more so right now. So making sure that they are getting enough sleep, making sure that they are eating regularly. There's a good amount of research on family dinners, trying to have family dinner together to the extent that you can, to have that time to check in. exercise. Kids should be exercising regularly, whatever that means. I don't care what it means. Figure out a way. There's a lot of online classes. Kids are going on bike rides, you know, dance party in your living room, whatever you can do to help them move. We know that especially for kids, it's so incredibly important for them to move. And getting outside, and particularly with the social distancing and the amount of time on screens, I think it's really important for kids to get outside. Our own family's trying to get outside every day, even when it's raining, at least for a little bit. And I think those basics are just incredibly important right now.
Do you have any pointers for sleep? I know I've had some adolescent patients who've been struggling more with getting a good night's rest.
In my practice, I teach mindfulness to kids. There's lots of really great mindfulness resources online, but I definitely think some simple mindfulness practices could be helpful right before bedtime. I know a lot of kids use the app Headspace, allowing them to kind of try some of those practices. There's lots of free stuff online too about mindfulness, but you know, it's a great skill to have anyway, and it can really help at bedtime. One of our sons is a bit of a warrior, and before bed, we come up and we do some deep breathing with him, which kind of can help him get calmed down. I just got this really great new resource called The Breathing Book, which is a really cool book because it guides through different breathing exercises. And what's neat about it is it's a book. And so they use the pages. So like you trace things while you breathe and stuff. So that was kind of cool for younger kids. Breathe in, breathe out. And they have lines on the page.
Oh, very fun.
So I think mindfulness and some deep breathing is helpful. And then, you know, I try to talk to clients or my kids about just thinking about positive things, bringing in those positive thoughts before they're falling asleep, trying to let go of worries. Those are hard things to do. But if you can kind of do it as a practice, you can get better at it and letting go of those worries at nighttime.
The patients that I'm most concerned about at this time are my adolescent patients who have baseline psychological challenges or mental health diagnoses. Do you have any tips or pointers on how to help this population?
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about that population as well. I'm thinking a little bit about my adolescents that I'm working with. I'm trying to encourage them to have some social interaction as much as possible, obviously not in person, but movie nights, Zoom meetings, FaceTime calls, trying to have them also spend some time with family if they're willing to do that and get that interaction as well, even if it's just watching a movie together, a TV show together. I think for adolescents in particular, that social piece can really help mitigate the impact of anxiety and depression. And so with it being gone, I think that can be extremely harmful. But then I'm also just encouraging those same things that we were just talking about before, like trying to stick to a schedule. A lot of adolescents are slipping into the stay up until 3 a.m. watching Netflix.
We think they're watching Netflix, Beth, but are they really?
There's a lot of stuff on Netflix that they should not be watching.
Yeah. And it might not just be Netflix.
Yeah, it might not. And then sleeping really late. And I'm worried about that as well, because then like meals get off. They're not having as much time with family. They're not exercising. And so really trying to encourage not necessarily like a strict structure, because they're adolescents. I know that's not going to fly, but at least like getting up, having something to eat, and then getting moving with their day and having somewhat regular things that they're doing every day.
It sounds like structure is a key part to helping kids navigate what's going on.
I think structure is really key. I think structure helps kids and adolescents a ton, even though they absolutely reject it, which makes it hard. And as a working parent, I understand it's also really hard to be trying to enforce this structure while you're also juggling 50 other things at the same time. So that is hard. And that's what school often gives us, is like that structure, that piece of it that it's hard to do at home. So to the extent that we can have somewhat of regular structure, I think can be helpful for them. I would watch out for adolescents' sleep disruptions. I'm concerned about them, you know, not getting enough sleep or starting to stay up really late and messing up their sleep schedule. Sleep is pretty strongly tied to mental illness. And so sleep hygiene is really important. And that's where a parent might have to get more involved, shutting off electronic access at a certain time of night or making sure that they are actually going to sleep at some point.
Yeah, good point. Now, this pandemic and the shelter in place and social distancing should not go on forever. I mean, it's going to go on for a long time, but it will eventually be lifted. And I have a sneaking suspicion that at that point, our clients and families are going to be faced with new challenges. Do you have any sense of what's coming down the road?
So I do think the transition back will be challenging for a lot of kids. For children and adolescents, like consistency is key and transitions can often be hard. And what makes transitions easier is once you get through them, having that kind of consistent structure that they are able to get used to. And so all of that is out the window. And so I anticipate that there's going to be children that are going to need a bit more support when we're getting ready to ease back in. And I imagine that schools will have to work on this and provide that support. It probably just won't be one kid. So the good news is I think we're going to have to figure out some more extra systems to do this and help with this.
Yeah, so we won't be alone.
We won't be alone, exactly. And I think that's just like an important thing to keep in mind in general. Like, you know, every kid is freaking out and tantruming and being difficult right now. Like every teenager is giving us a hard time. Every parent is at the end of their rope. You know, every marriage is getting stressed. Like we are all in this together. And in some ways that makes it really hard because we can't, you know, call someone and vent and have them just listen because they also want to vent.
It's so true.
But then on the other side of it, it's like, you know what? We're all in this. This sucks for everybody. Yep. You know, We get it.
Should we be spending hours making sure that our kids are meeting their educational goals at this time? I know this is a bit of a family-specific topic, but what's your recommendation as a psychologist?
My professional opinion is that mental health trumps education at this moment when we're in a crisis like this, a worldwide crisis. And I absolutely think the structure of school is beneficial, and I think it's important for kids to continue to learn. But I also hope parents can not stress themselves out so much trying to do it all and trying to get their kids to excel academically and instead do what they can to be present with their kids and hopefully enjoy some activities with their kids even. Because I think in the long term, that's what the kids are going to remember. When I think about my kids, I hope when they talk about this in 20 years, 40 years, they say, oh yeah, that's when we did tons of puzzles together as a family and we started to play Catan Jr. and had so many movie nights. You know, like I hope that's what happens. Not, oh my God, I remember my mom screaming at me about my homework every single day. It's not that it's not important, but I want parents to please remember to like be gentle with themselves, be compassionate with themselves, but also be compassionate and gentle with their kids.
Oh, those are very wise words indeed. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom with us, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me.